जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी चन गिरी वरदारी जया गोपी जन वाला गिरी वरदारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदनांदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivacharya Sturasat, Vangrasi Si Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki, Iskan Phongda Chara Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namachara Srila Haridas Thakura Ki Jai, Prem Sika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Rita Gadada Sri Vasadi Gaubhakti. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 42. Tam imam
aham ajam sharira bhajam.
Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Riddhi dishtam atma kalpitanam. Prati drisham eva naika darkam ekam. Samadhi ghatosmi viduta beda moha. Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Riddhi riddhi dishtitam atma kalpitanam.
pradidrisham eva naika darkam ekam. Samadhi ghatosmi viduta bedamoha. Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Ridhi ridhi dishtitam atma kalpitanam. Pradidrisham eva naikadharkam ekam. Samadhi gatosmi viduta bedamoha. Tami maham ajam sharira bhajam. Ridhi ridhi dishtitam atma kalpitanam. Prati drisham eva naikadarkam ekam. Samadhi gatosmi viduta bedamoha. Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam. Ridhi ridhi dishtitam atma kalpitanam. Padidusham eva naikadarkam. Samadhi gatosmi viduta bedamoha. Matajis. Tam imam aham sarira bhajam. Ridhi ridhi dishtitam atma kalpitam. Pradidrisham eva naikadarkam ekam. Samadhi gatosmi viduta bedamoha. Okay, word for word, Tam, that personality of Godhead. Imam, now present before me. Aham, I. Ajam, the unborn. Sharira, Bhajam, of the conditioned soul. Ridhi, in the heart. Ridhi, in the heart. Dishtitam, situated. Atma, the super soul. Kalpitanam, of the speculators. Pratidrisham, in every direction. Eva, like. Na ekada, not one. Arkam, the sun. Ekam, one only. Samadhi gata asmi. I have undergone transcendent meditation. Vidhuta, been freed from. Beda moha. Misconception of duality. Translation of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now I can meditate with full concentration upon the one Lord, Sri Krishna, now present before me, because now I have transcended the misconceptions of duality in regard to his presence in everyone's heart, even the hearts of the mental speculators. He is in everyone's heart. The Son may be perceived differently, but the Son is one. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is the one absolute personality of Godhead, but he has expanded himself into his multiplanetary portions by his inconceivable energy. The conception of duality is due to ignorance of his inconceivable energy. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:11, the Lord says that only the foolish take him to be a mere human being. Such foolish men are not aware of his inconceivable energies. By his inconceivable energy, he is present in everyone's heart, as the sun is present before everyone all over the world. The Paramatma feature of the Lord is an expansion of his planetary portions. He expands himself as Paramatma in everyone's heart by his inconceivable energy. And he also expands himself as the glowing effulgence of Brahmjyoti by the expansion of his personal glow. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that the Brahmjyoti is his personal glow. Therefore, there is no difference between him and his personal glow. Brahmjyoti, or his planetary portions, are Paramatma. Less intelligent persons who are not aware of this fact consider Brahmjyoti and Paramatma to be different from Sri Krishna. This misconception of duality is completely removed from the mind of Bhishmadev, and he is now satisfied that it is Lord Sri Krishna only who is all in all in everything. This enlightenment is attained by the great Mahatmas or devotees, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita 9:7-19, that Vasudev is all in all in everything, and that there is no existence of anything without Vasudev. Vasudev, or Lord Krishna, is the original Supreme Person, as now confirmed by Mahajan. And therefore, both the neophytes and the pure devotees must try to follow in his footsteps. This is the way of devotional life. The worshipable object of Bhishmadev is Lord Sri Krishna, as Partha Sarathi, and that of the gopis is the same Krishna in Vrindavan as the most attractive Shyamasundar. Sometimes less intelligent scholars make a mistake and think that the Krishna of Vrindavan and that of the Battle of Kurukshetra are different personalities. But for Bhishmadev, this misconception is completely removed. Even the impersonalist object of destination is Krishna as the impersonal Jyoti, and the yogi's destination of Paramatma is also Krishna. Krishna is both Brahmjyoti and localized Paramatma, but in Brahmjyoti or Paramatma there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Partha Sarathi and Shyamasundar of Vrindavan, but in his impersonal feature, he is neither in Brahmjyoti nor in the Paramatma. Krishna is both Brahmjyoti and localized Paramatma, but in Brahmjyoti or Paramatma there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, oh, okay, yeah, but it's here, Okay, but in his impersonal feature, he is neither in the Brahmjyoti nor in the Paramatma. Great Mahatmas like Bhishmadev realize all these different features of Lord Sri Krishna, and therefore they worship Lord Krishna, knowing him as the origin of all features. Om Gyana Chirmanasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Sakshmantam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharadi Swaparantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Namastate Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Deita Garada Shri Vasadi Gauru Bhakti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So this is the last speech of Bhishma Dev. This is the last verse that Bhishma Dev is speaking. He will leave in his body after this. Maybe before I start the purport, Bhishma Dev, I'd like to say something about Bhishma Dev. He, when Mother Ganga took him away from Shantanu, she took him to the heavenly planets, and there he was able to learn all the different arts and sciences. So that's why he was able to speak so eloquently to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Because he was well knowledgeable of political science, the Vedas, the Puranas, warfare, medicine, everything. So in that way he was very erudite in what he was saying. And so this is how he was taught by Brihaspati, who is the teacher of the demigods. He was taught by Vashishta, by Sanat Kumar. Sanat Kumar is one of the physicians of the demigods. He was taught by Markandeya Rishi. He was taught by Parshuram. So he was well versed, and he also learned military science from Parshuram, and I guess other acharyas also. So Bhishma Dev was a well equipped person to lead the Kuru dynasty. It's stated that he was lying on the bed of arrows, but Bhishma Dev was actually pierced by all those arrows. He was pierced so much with arrows that his whole body was full of arrows. So it's not like he was really lying on a bed of arrows. I mean, it's stated like that, but basically those arrows were through his body, you see. And so he endured all that for 58 days until the sun went to the northern horizon. So just imagine. Another point I want to touch on is that when Duryodhana had given the arrows to Arjuna, Bhishma Dev had asked Duryodhana what happened to the arrows, and Duryodhana told him that Arjuna told him that Krishna sent him for the arrows. So Bhishma knew right away, the all-knowing Lord, he knows everything really. You see? Krishna within the heart knows what was going on. And Bhishma had empowered those arrows. So when Duryodhana asked him to take another 5 arrows, he said, that's not possible. You see? And so he said, okay. So Krishna make me break my promise, so then he will have to break his promise today. See? Like that. So that's a nice relishable pastimes. So here Bhishma Dev is saying that Lord Krishna, through his multifarious expansions, he controls everything. And then he gave an example, just like the sun may be perceived differently, but the sun is one. And indeed, the sun Like in the tropical regions, the sun is always in the tropic. It basically, to people in the tropics, it never moves. The sun is just there. In the tropical zone, it's summer all year long. All year long, it is summer in the tropical regions. You see, you don't get winter and summer, winter and spring and different things there. It's just like summer the whole year long in the tropic. In the subtropical regions, it's a little different. And then the climatic regions, it's a different, because then the sun is moving in the different hemisphere. See? So the sun is perceived differently by people within this different zone within the on the Earth planet. But the sun is one. Like in the tropics, you see the sun rises and then in the evening it sets. And for some people, they would think that the sun appears, just appear, and then it disappears in the evening. But really, this is due to the Earth rotating on its axis. You see? Like it, the scientist says it's an imaginary axis, but like if we hear about Mount Meru, the invisible mountain, we can postulate that is the invisible axis, and as the sun rotates, light is given to all over the earthly planet. See, and for the seasons, then the earth revolves around the sun. It's like a cosmic dance. Like when we go around Tulsi Arctic. You go around Tulsi Arctic. You see, we circumambulate it. So it is like that, the earth is revolving around the sun. And then we make a little turn around Srila Prabhupada. That's how the earth rotates to get day and night. So I mean, it's if you follow that pattern, that's exactly how the earth movement is. And so we get the seasons and everything. See, like that. But the sun is in the sky always there, and it never really disappears, but to our vision. So here Bhishma is saying about Lord Krishna's position. That's Lord Krishna's position. He may be perceived differently. Like, remember when we just started to preach, we used to say that the Lord is just like a train coming. Like when the train is coming from a far distance, you see the smoke rising in the air, and then somehow we think that the Lord is, well, the train is just a smoke. So it's explained that for the neophyte devotee, the effulgence of the Lord is his Brahm Jyoti. You see? That his Brahm Jyoti is the effulgence of the Lord. And so for the neophyte, he thinks that, well, that is the Lord. And then as the train is coming a little closer, you're able to see a form. And this we used to compare like to the yogis seeing the Paramatma feature of the Lord within the heart. See, this is compared to the Paramatma feature of the Lord. And then, as the train comes closer, you see the train and there is even people inside and so forth. So this is like the Supreme Lord. He's a person. So he is the Supreme Person. And through his multifarious expansions, he is within the heart as Paramatma, and through his effulgence, he is the Brahmjyoti. So it's stated within the Brahma Samhita. It is stated within the Brahma Samhita. Yashya prabha prabhavato jagatanda koti kotisya shesha vasudadi vibhuti binam tad brahma nishkalam ananta ashesha bhutam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman, mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. So this is the Brahman effulgence of the Lord. This is his effulgence perceived as Brahman. And there is one type of philosophers called the Mayavadis. And of course there are different branches like the Arya Samaj and so forth. And they can swear that Brahman is the source of the Lord. For them, the Brahman is the Brahman come together and form the Lord. That's their understanding. And Brahman is everything, and Brahman forms everything. But here in the Brahma Samhita, we are seeing that this Brahman is the effulgence of the Lord. It is his personal form. Sorry. It's coming from his personal form. And that's the glowing light. It's also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham Amritasya yasya cha shashvatasya cha dharmasya sukasya ikantikasya cha. And I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal. See? So the Lord has stated that he is the basis of the impersonal Brahman. But in the same Bhagavad Gita, he also says, klesho dikatara stesham, that this Brahman or this impersonal form is difficult to worship. And it's not recommended. The Lord explains that this form is difficult to worship and troublesome, so he does not recommend it. See? So this is the position of the Brahman. But we have the Mayavadi's philosophers, and Srila Prabhupada is always very heavy with the Mayavadi's because sometimes they're a little offensive in the sense that they're saying that that the Lord is coming from Brahman. But we can see that this is not so, but the Lord has his personal form. He is the supreme person. He is the supreme Ishvara Krishna Parama Satchinananda Vigraha. He is eternal, full of knowledge and the bliss. And that's his constitutional form. His original form. When Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, he was explaining to him about the different forms of the Lord. And he's saying, his personal form is called Swayam Rupa. See? Swayam Rupa. And then he has his expanded form. And then he was saying within the Swayam Rupa there's Prabhava and Vaibhava. And even explaining that Krishna Krishna, when he expanded himself in the rasa dance, that was one type of form. And then when he expanded himself to marry the 16,108 wife, then that was his emotional form. And that's called Vaibhava Prakash. That's a different form. And then he has his four-handed form. The four-handed form is also called Vaibhava Prakash. And then it's stated that his Vilas form manifests into these 24 four-handed forms, and they hold the club and the disc and the lotus and stuff in different ways. See? So all these are different inconceivable forms of the Lord. And then, of course, we know that he expanded himself into the different avatars. We know he has the guna avatar, the purusha avatar, lila avatar, manvantara avatar, yoga avatar, shaktavesha avatar. So all these are his different inconceivable expansions. And so the Lord, even though he has his personal form, but he has more than that. For the neophyte devotee, he will say, well, the Lord is one, but he's simultaneously one and yet different. You see, like the Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, that the Lord is simultaneously one and different also. So yes, he has his personal form, but then he has all these different expansions. And so Bhishma Dev, he's saying now he can understand all of these forms and different expansions in fullness. And now he's focused his attention in Parthasarathi, the form he in the battlefield as the chariot driver of Arjuna. That is the form he's relishing. And the gopis are relishing the all-beautiful form of Shyamasundar, that beautiful blackish boy there. He is the gopis are relishing. See? So these are all the inconceivable forms of the Lord. And when Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Sanatan Goswami, Srila Prabhupada also commented that the seven islands are considered the seven continents. Within that explanation in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada stated that those seven islands are called the seven continents, and within each one of those continents a form of the Lord is there. I think Prana was explaining yesterday, but sorry in one way to say this. I mean, it was amazing when I read it. But he says only the form in India is known. So from the description of the Puranas also, it seems like Bharatvarsha is India. The way it's stated from this Himalayas to Kanyakumari, that is the location of Bharatvarsha within several of the Puranas, and all the descriptions of the rivers and everything fit the description. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that the form of the Lord there is understood, but the form within the other continents are not known. They are unknown in this Kaliyu. But also, Vedic culture was within all the continents in the previous ages. But even the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira was emperor not only of Bharatvarsha, but he was emperor of the whole earth. He was emperor of the whole earth. That means that Varnasrama Dharma was on the whole earth. But that's only 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, that was the waning of Varnasrama Dharma. But earlier, since within Treta Yuga, when it was established within the whole planet. Kings like Lord Ramachandra, they were emperor of the whole world. Many, many kings, Prithu Maharaj, they were emperor of the whole world. It's not only, well, India or Bharatvarsha, but was the whole world. And, well, the tendency is to call the whole world Bharatvarsha, but it seems the seven Varshas, also the planets. Because when Sukadeva Goswami was explaining to Parikshit asked that the wheel of Priyavrata chariot created seven ditches that created the seven islands of Jambudvipa. So that is a literal statement. It's not really figurative. Literal means literally the chariot created seven ditches that created the seven islands. So Sukadeva Goswami, even though he was speaking at the end of Dwapara Yuga, he was referring to at the beginning of the day of Brahma, which is the fourth Manvantara. So this is also important to understand. Sukadeva Goswami is repeating what he heard from his father, Vyasadeva. So he is, even though he's speaking at the end of Dwapara Yuga on the seventh Manu, but he is referring to the first reign of Swayambhuva Manu. And that was a description of the earthly planet there. So one time I was talking to the guys in TOPV about the description within the Bhagavatam of this, but one of these Prabhus was saying that, well, where it's stated, but this is how Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, even though he was speaking at the end of Dwapara Yuga, but he was referring to the geography of Satya Yuga in the fourth Manvantara. And so seven Manvantaras have passed, so it's a long time. When the description of the geography was given in the Ramayana about the earthly planet, it was much different also. For example, when Angad was saying, Angad said, I could jump 100 yojanas. So he was saying from Kanyakumari, that's the end of the tip of India, to Lanka was 100 yojanas. Now it's only 20 miles. So we can infer from there that the geography has changed tremendously from the first Satyug to now. The geography of the earthly planet has changed tremendously. So my friends at TOPV, they have to take all of this into consideration. It's not like Bhagavatam says like this, but it is ever changing. And my conception is that the earth itself is shrinking, because 100 yojanas to 20 miles now, that's just 2 yojanas. You see? So that's a vast difference. When Angad could have jumped, he said he will jump 100 yojanas so he could jump to Lanka. See, then. And now we know Lanka to Kanyakumari is 20 miles. So we could imagine, you see. So we can see. So all these things have to be taken into consideration. So anyhow, coming back to the point really of the deities. So the Lord has, so it states, Srila Prabhupada said that there are deities all over in all the different continents, but we're not aware of them. And so so I guess maybe later on, somehow, we may unearth them, or maybe in another yoga or whatever, that might be possible. But coming back to the verse, Bhishmadev has fully understood the holistic nature of the Supreme Lord, his complete nature of how he is impersonal, how he is Paramatma within the heart, and that is the same Lord as Parthasarathi and Shyamasundar. So this is my little understanding, and I stop here if there is any question or comment. And please forgive me, I didn't mean to contradict any of the statements of any of the devotees. I was just trying to give my meager understanding of the thing. So okay, there was one question from that I had an answer online. Somebody was asking, what do you think of Deepak Chopra's methods? And Deepak Chopra is one of the famous Mayavadi philosopher on the internet. Big. He has written many, many books and so. So I wrote something about him. So they were asking, what do you think of Deepak Chopra's method? I wrote, Deepak Chopra wants to meditate and become God, or one with God. This is the Mayavadi conception. This is not possible. We are all servants of God, and this shall remain so forever. The faster he stops deluding himself and his followers, the faster they can fall into their eternal constitutional position as servants of God. There is no shame in being the servant of the Almighty Lord Krishna. So that was my little reply, really, and people loved it. So, any question there, Prana?
There's one question in the purport. Can you see the purport? It says, in the impersonal feature, Krishna is neither in the Paramatma nor in the Brahmajyoti. What does he mean? Can you please expand on it?
Okay. Yes, so he is neither in the Paramatma nor the Brahmajyoti. So it's like the rays of the sun. The Brahmajyoti is like the rays of the sun. The rays of the sun is also the sun. You cannot deny that. But at the same time, it's not the sun. I mean, it's not the personal form of the sun. So similarly, Brahmajyoti, even though it's the light of the Lord and it's coming from the Lord, it is, in one sense, it is different from the Lord. It's not, you cannot relish, Srila Prabhupada writes extensively, you cannot relish being in the Brahmajyoti for long. You lose equilibrium. You want activities, and in that Brahmajyoti it's not there. So then you fall back onto the planet, and then you want service to the personal form of the Lord. And the Paramatma feature also, he is within the heart, and still it's not easy to develop a relationship with him there too, because unless you're a great yogi that have done thousands of years of meditation, then you can, then the soul and the super soul can interact here within the heart after meditating for a long time. But otherwise, it's not. But the form Shyamasundar and Partha Sarati, you can interact with those forms and all the other beautiful forms. So that's my little intake on that. You want to add anything, Prana?
Rajasriya Jagna, and when he left, Bhishma Panchaka give a little.
Yeah.
Somebody's texting.
In the Rajasuya Jagya, yes. Yeah. So the Rajasuya Jagya was, that was before the Mahabharata war, and so they were contemplating and who would be the foremost person to be worshipped. And everyone concluded that Krishna should be, except Shishupal and maybe a few of his contemporaries. And Shishupal was protesting and everything. And then Bhishma rose up. Bhishma was angry to kill him. Bhima also, Nakula, many personalities rose up there to kill Shishupal because thing. And of course, Lord Krishna knew what was going on. He was waiting for him to commit over 100 offenses. And so when that happened, then he actually exterminated him. But what was the other part with Bhishma, you said?
Bhishma day, on what day he stepped down from the Amandachi, and then when he passed away?
Oh. So what did he step? He stepped down on the 10th day of the battle. As he fell down. Actually, he was pierced so much by arrows that he couldn't even stand. His armor was cut by Arjuna, and then he was pierced by arrows all over his body. So he was actually rolling like a balloon, really, because he couldn't touch the earth. And then from then on, he stayed for 58 days till the sun went to the northern horizon. And then he left his body like that. See? It stated also that some commentators wrote that one lifetime he had killed a snake and threw it in some thorn bushes and that snake had cursed him that he would face in his life, he would face that also. And so that was why he was pierced by all these arrows. Then another commentator says that his time on earth had expired, so he could not stay on the earth again. And then another commentator says he was too heavy for the earth. And then another commentator says that because he was celibate, he did not want to touch a woman, or Mother Earth is a lady, so he didn't want to. You see, so there were so many interpretations there, really. I mean, whatever, what can I say? So can we conclude? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Okay.
It says that this is from Mother Chatamayi Devadasi.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you, Tibhikam Prabhu. I can always count on you for a clear, considered, and comfortable phase presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. My question is the earth as Bharat Varsha an eternal manifestation since it was graced by the footprints of Lord Krishna?
Is the art of Bharat Varsha? Take off your mask. I can't get hear it clear.
Uh-huh.
Take off your mask.
Krishna water.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Is this Bharat Varsha eternal or temporary? Just say it in
the answer. Oh. She's saying that because it's the Lord walk on it, really. Well, we know that Vrindavan is eternal, really. And then it's manifest, and then it becomes unmanifest at some point, you know. But I can say that, of course, I know that Vrindavan is eternal and it's manifested now so we can see that, but in its unmanifested state we cannot see. So that's as far as I can say.
Lanka is 100 miles, but you mentioned something.
20 miles.
Where are you coming out
with this? From Kanyakumari to the northern tip of Lanka, the distance is just 20 miles. I checked that up online. That's the distance. The sea distance, but Lanka itself. The island itself could be like 100, maybe from the southern tip can be 100 miles to the northern. But even to that, that's only 8 yojanas. I mean, a thing. And when Angad says, I'll jump 100 yojanas. Remember, Bali was Angad's father. He used to jump from eastern India to western India in one jump in the morning to exercise. When he was exercising his body in the morning, he was jumped from one shore to the next.
Who?
Bali, Anga father.
Really?
So, okay. Thanks for your nice verse. On the knowledge of Sri Mahabharata, please explain how Bhishma could have been present at the Rajasuya Yajna from yesterday's class. Okay. But how Yudhishthira can be declared emperor before the Kurukshetra war? Isn't Rajasuya Yajna for declaration of one being an emperor? Oh, okay. So the first part, Rajasuya took place before the war, like I explained. That was when Yudhishthira was crowned king of Indraprastha. And Lord Krishna, and in the Rajasuya, they usually select the foremost person, and that was given to Lord Krishna. You see? So how Yudhishthira can be declared emperor before the war? Well, he was the rightful emperor of the earth in Indraprastha, because Dhritarashtra was blind, he was unqualified, and Duryodhana was his eldest son, but he was also unqualified because Yudhishthira was older than Duryodhana. So Yudhishthira was the rightful emperor of the earth, because Dhritarashtra was blind, so Pandu was the rightful emperor. But after Pandu died, Yudhishthira was born, and he was older than Duryodhana, so he was the rightful emperor of the earth. So just after they crowned Yudhishthira as emperor of the earth, then Duryodhana, with his envious nature, gambled. They gambled the kingdom. Well, you know, they cheated Yudhishthira and so forth, and send them in exile, really. And then when they came back, when they asked for the kingdom, then they refused, and there was the war, really. So, let me see what else. Isn't Rajasuya Yajna for declaration of one being an emperor? Well, of course, the Rajasuya is also that, and Yudhishthira was the emperor before. But after the war, they did another jagya called the Ashwamedha jagya. The Ashwamedha jagya was done after the war, and that was also declared Yudhishthira the emperor of the world. You see, so there was the Rajasuya before, and then there were the Ashwamedha after. Okay, and thank you guys for listening, and be patient with me, and I hope I did not contradict anybody or upset anybody in TOPV. We can always do some debates or some friendly conversation. Thank you, everybody. Hare Krishna. And stay safe from this virus. I try to stay away because we have a few weeks more for the vaccines, and when the vaccines come, we should be at least safer. So everybody should be safer then, and then we can start slowly coming back. But Mother Mukhe, we have to heed her, hear what she says. It's important that we don't get infected, and we can infect other people. So I try to be a little, take precaution. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And my obeisance to every one of you. Hari Bol.